Okay, let's open up the scriptures. We'll actually open up to Genesis chapter 2, story of Adam and Eve. Title of this talk is Prince of This World. It's often enter into discussions about who rules this world. So let's look at the scriptures. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So we know this, the Garden of Eden, the story of Adam, and as has been mentioned already, God desired a relationship with mankind. In chapter 1, that's the creation chapter, on the sixth day he created mankind. On the seventh day he had a rest, and then after that he formed Adam out of the ground. So it's a separate creation event to the previous one in chapter 1. And he created Adam, or formed Adam, out of the dirt so that he could have a personal one-on-one relationship with mankind. And God created a garden for Adam to live in, to dress and to keep. And God basically, his commandment at this stage, there's only one commandment that Adam had to follow, and was that he was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it says elsewhere in the Bible that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so this is God's commandment. This is the salvation message to Adam at the time. You know, if you want to stay in the Garden of Eden, having a one-on-one relationship with God, then do not eat the fruit of that tree. That was the God's commandment. And then we go down to chapter 3 and verse 1. So between here, Eve was formed from Adam's rib, and they were husband and wife. Both of them walking in the Garden of Eden. Now, there's only a few verses that I've missed out there, but you can actually look into a lot of things that happen there. I actually believe that Adam let Eve down, that Adam had a relationship with God, a one-on-one relationship with God, but he did not allow Eve to have that relationship. He may have said to Eve, oh, just don't eat the fruit of that tree. You know, come Eve, let's have a relationship together with God. And so we can read in chapter 3 and you see that Eve did not get the picture. And I believe it's because Adam didn't explain it to Eve properly. He let her down. And that's why we read further on that we always refer to it as the sin of Adam, where Adam fell. You know, we don't refer to it as Eve. But anyway, chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, she didn't even know the name of the tree, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now they could have built a cubby house in the tree. It's just they weren't to eat the fruit. So she didn't quite get it. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And then it goes in about the curses, the curse of the ground, women in childbirth and so forth, and being subject unto their husbands. But this here was where mankind were given a choice, follow God or not to follow God. They were given a choice to follow him and have a continual relationship with God in the Garden of Eden, or to follow the serpent or the devil. That's the choice. We all have that choice. We have two choices. And so in this case, mankind decided to follow the devil, the serpent, who was more subtle. You know, he knew that Eve did not have that vision, did not have that understanding, so came in that weakest link. And as a result, this was the fall. And there was a relationship with that pure relationship that God had with man was broken. And since this point, God has still tried to have a relationship with humans. You know, as was said before, through Noah, through Abraham, and then through Moses and the law, and then Jesus Christ, which we live in now through the Spirit, which is the best it can be while human beings are walking on earth. It can only be the best when we're all spiritual creatures. So human beings at this stage rejected God and followed the things of the world. Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus is being tempted by the devil after he'd been fasting for 40 days. This is a trial. I'll just read one of them here to prove my point. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil taketh Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now so here, as you can read, Satan offers the kingdoms of the world for Jesus to rule over. Now, the only way the devil can do that is if he has control over the world, is if he is the ruler of the world himself. If the ruler of the world was someone else, then Satan wouldn't have power or authority to grant it unto who he wishes. So here, he wanted to tempt Jesus. He knew the plan of God. He knew that Jesus would come and defeat sin and allow human beings to have that one-on-one relationship through the Spirit, which was broken with Adam. And so to do that, he tempted Jesus. You know, you can already rule the world if you want, if you bow down and worship me. But Jesus said, nah, you know, I've come here for a reason. So here we can glean from it that the devil rules the kingdoms of the world. John chapter 12 and verse 31. John chapter 12 and verse 31, it's Jesus speaking. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So there you go. Jesus says it himself, that judgment of this world will be passed and the prince of this world will be cast out. He'll be judged as being wrong. He'll be judged as being a troublemaker. Okay, get away from us. But if he's lifted up, Jesus had to be lifted up as he was on the cross, and he'll draw all men unto me through that spirit. But here, Satan is described as the prince of the world, the ruler of this world. Okay, to back it up, chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus speaking again here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or advantageous for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. We can read elsewhere, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. So Jesus died. He went away. It was advantageous for us that Jesus went away, left the earth, so that the Comforter would come. And it says here that Jesus will send him, the Comforter, unto us, which is the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, and when he has come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. So those that reject Jesus are sinners. Those that receive the Holy Spirit and believe in Jesus have had their sins forgiven. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Now, there's a lot in that verse of righteousness, because we can read elsewhere in the scriptures that Jesus sits on the right hand of God, that he is justifying us before God. He's reminding God that Jesus died for us and that we're pure before him. So we are now righteous before God. Because he goes to my Father, the only way Jesus could do that was because he went to the Father. And verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, being Satan, sin, you are evil, being judged that way. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, which is that Comforter referred to earlier, he, that Spirit, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So that Spirit, we experience that through the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues, we read the scriptures, we understand what's going on in the scriptures, we understand judgment, we understand righteousness, we understand what sin is. We'll read another scripture later. The purpose of the law was to define sin. That's why it was amazing. It gave mankind the ability to judge according to God's judgment. So it was this pathway that mankind have gone through. None of it was wasted because it was all part of God's plan. And so that Holy Spirit that teaches you all things, that Spirit of truth will guide you. Now I look back. As I said in my testimony, I had the Holy Spirit before coming to the Revival Fellowship. Didn't know what it was. Didn't know that. But you read in Ephesians the warning not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I remember doing things and I'd run away from them and I didn't know why. And I look back, it's because I was grieving the Holy Spirit. The Spirit guides us to truth. And that's why I was so relieved when I sat into a Revival Fellowship meeting. I've been guided to truth through the Spirit. And it's just truly amazing, quite humbling that the Lord does that for us. You know, he doesn't forget his children that are filled with the Spirit. He guides us to truth. And it's just an amazing big picture that we get, like we've read here, of sin, righteousness, judgment. We know where that all fits in. Romans chapter 5. And this is the bit that I was kind of referring to earlier. A bit of reading here, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man being Adam, and death by sin. The consequence of that sin was death, which God did say that if you eat that fruit, then you will die. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. The law only came with Moses. Before that, there was sin. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So that what that means is before the law, yeah, people were sinning before God. They were sinners and they were destined to die because of that sin. But the law came to define that sin. So when the law came, people started to know what sin was. Ah, God doesn't like that. God doesn't like murder. God doesn't like adultery. God doesn't like this and that and this and that. God needs sacrifices. He needs the shedding of blood. He needs a temple built. He needs all this sort of stuff. That's how sin was defined. These rules that God set down, and they were very precise. There were so many different things that were a shadow of things to come, but the sin was defined by the law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So that was what was so wonderful about the law. It clearly defined for mankind to understand how far mankind were away from God, how we fail every day. We try to do the right thing, but we keep failing. We keep letting ourselves down. We keep letting God down. So the law defined that gap between God and man. And so as a result of that, it grace more abounded. As a result of that definition of the gap, the grace was defined as well. And that's what it says here, like, through the offence one may be dead, much more the grace of God that through one, being Jesus Christ, that gift can set us free. Verse 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification, justified as being righteous. Verse 17, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound or be defined, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus Christ gave us this victory. You know, that that sin of Adam, as it refers to throughout that passage, that sin was then made all mankind be born into sin. Even though they didn't do the same sin that Adam did, they were still sinners. And by one man, Jesus Christ, we're set free. That amazing grace that is a popular hymn, is that amazing grace that's been bestowed upon us, that God called us and judged us as being righteous, so that we can be free from sin and free from the prince of this world. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there you go, defining here, it says, ask us to be strong, put on the whole armour, that spiritual armour. It lists it further down, a very famous passage there, the armour of God. But it, here it clearly defines here, it's a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, things that we see, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. The ruler of darkness is the devil, you know, of the world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so that's that definition, that we are separate from that. And as we'll read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we are holy people, Holy Spirit, separate. That's what that word means. We are a separate people, called apart, and we have been called apart to follow God and not follow the world, because following the world is following the prince of this world, which is Satan. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So teaching faithful men who will then teach more people, and the word will just spread. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So following on from that scripture we read before, you know, we fight not against flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers of spiritual darkness and all that sort of stuff. We are a part of a battle. And it says here, no man that wars entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Right? We follow the things of God, the things of heavenly things, And we don't entangle ourselves with issues of this earth. Before I came to the Revival Fellowship, I used to protest every now and again about emotive matters. And I still have those opinions, but we don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world, because then you're getting distracted. You know, we are soldiers who are fighting in God's army. And it says there that he's chosen us to be a soldier, and that soldier aims to please the their commander, and that's Jesus Christ. And also, I like the reason I read verse 5 is the only way a person is crowned is if he strives lawfully. So if we start doing it cheekily, underhandedly, trying to do it our own way, entangling ourselves with things of this world, then we don't get crowned. So we strive lawfully, putting God first and following God's ways instead of mixing it up with other ways and our own opinions. And there are many things, many ideas out there now where people protest against and have very strong opinions of, and they are entangling themselves in the things of this world, and they're not striving lawfully and following God's ways. Last scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Just one verse here. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, you know, just have that that mindset to continue in the ways of the Lord, in the ways that are outlined in the scriptures. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. See, this is the thing, is we are followers of God, followers of Jesus. We love him, so we keep his commandments, and that equals liberty. That's freedom. Wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So here it refers to the things of this world, the things that are ruled by the devil, the prince of this world, as a yoke of bondage, a thing that that doesn't help us. It's not liberty. It's not freedom. You know, as we know from our own experiences, it's not something that that is pure and clean, but it's something that like holds us back and gives us grief, really. And so let us stand fast in the liberty, realize where we stand, realize that it's a wonderful place that we're in, and that we do not follow the prince of this world, but we follow God. Now, I, as we witness to people, door knock, street outreach and so forth, we're often confronted with people who believe that God rules this world. But scripturally, it's not true. It's Satan that rules this world. We step away from that and follow God's ways. So it's like the prince of this world, like the world is following Satan, the prince of this world, and in amongst it, there's this thread of people that are following God in amongst all that, because God still, despite the hardness of mankind's heart, still wants that relationship with a people, wants to have that one-on-one thing with a people that he's chosen. And as it says in Deuteronomy a couple of times, if only they would follow my ways, then I'll bless them. You know, God wants to bless a people. He's chosen us. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless us. And it's like he chose Israel, the nation of Israel, not because they were a large nation or a mighty nation, but he chose them because they were little, and so that then when he was blessed, they became great. And that's why it grieved him so much. If only you would follow my ways. If only you look to me, then I'll bless you. We heard that in the gifts as well, and it's mentioned today. You know, if only the children were obedient to the Father, then get these wonderful blessings. And it's the same today. It's the same God. The God today is the same God of Israel back then. So now that sorry, back then it was a chosen nation. Now it's a chosen people filled with the Spirit. And let us be in that position of God bestowing blessings upon us, and let us not grieve God. If only they would follow my ways. If only, then I'll be able to bless them. Let's continue to follow his ways. Let's reject the prince of this world, knowing who the prince of the world is, and follow God's ways and do it properly. And then we'll get the amazing blessings as we hear in testimony at every meeting, and at the end we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. Okay, thank you.